Well, you know, one of my favorite movies, which may not surprise you, is Fiddler on the Roof. Fiddler on the Roof, as you probably know, is the story of a Jewish community in the 19th century in Russia, in a little village called Onotemkin. And in one of my favorite scenes in the movie, some of the young rabbinic students are all gathered around the aged rabbi of the village, and the rabbi's telling them the different blessings that can be given to different things. And so one of the students says, "Rabbi, is there a blessing for the czar?" And the rabbi says, "Why, of course." He says, "May God bless and keep the czar far away from us." Well, you know, today on Father's Day, I want to talk to us dads about being a blessing to our children. And I have four biblical principles I want to share with us. And let me just say, if you're here and you're not a dad, maybe you're a young man who hopes to be a dad one day, or you're a mom, or you're a young lady who wants to be a mom one day, all of this is for you too, because these principles are for moms and dads alike. But I want to talk today especially to fathers. So, are you ready? Okay, here we go. Number one. Want to be a blessing to your children as a dad? Then number one, show them physical affection. You know, one of the highest models of good fatherhood in the Bible is the father of the prodigal son. And you remember the story Jesus told. This young boy took his inheritance, ran away, wasted it all, you know, living la vida loca, and then finally wandered home. And here's what happened, Luke 15:20, but while his son was still a long way off, his father saw him and ran to his son and threw his arms around him and kissed him. As this sin-ravaged boy came home, there were all kinds of messages that his dad wanted to deliver to him in that moment. He wanted to deliver to him the message of unconditional love and acceptance and value and worth and, of course, forgiveness and reconciliation. And being a wise father, this man understood that when you want to communicate to a child messages like that, the most powerful tool in a father's arsenal is physical affection. What did this father do? The Bible says he hugged him and he kissed his boy. Now, moms are usually great at this, but we dads, well, we're often a different story. And this is tragic because study after study has shown that physical affection on the part of a father is more critical to the healthy development of a child than physical affection from anyone else. Now, I'm not a big hockey fan. I do know that for the first time in their 44-year history, the LA Kings won the Stanley Cup this year. We have any Kings fans here? One. All right, well, you know, stand by your team. All right, so, but anyway, you don't have to know a lot about hockey to know the name Scotty Gomez. Scotty Gomez was the very first Hispanic player in the National Hockey League, but he wasn't just a normal player. In the year 2000, when he broke into the league, he was actually the NHL Rookie of the Year. And that year as a rookie, he led the New Jersey Devils to a Stanley Cup and then led them to another Stanley Cup 3 years later in 2003. He still plays for the Montreal Canadiens. But the thing that I really love about Scotty Gomez is his relationship with his father, Carlos. Carlos went to every game Scotty played growing up. He took his meager salary and bought the equipment that Scotty needed. And when Scott made the Devils at age 20, Carlos went into the locker room and talked to the older players in there and asked them to look out for his son. Hockey legend Claude Lemieux said to Carlos, "Don't worry, Mr. Gomez, we're on top of it. When he gets too stupid, we'll just send him to his room." End of quote. Well, here's the thing I really love, though, about the relationship between Scotty and his dad. After every game, Scotty immediately goes right off the ice, and he and his dad continue a ritual that they have had since the time Scotty was a little wobbly kid on skates. And the minute Scotty comes off the ice, he collapses into his father's arms, and they give each other this enormous hug. In USA Today, Carlos, his father, said, and I quote, "You'd be surprised how many dads say to me, I wish my kid would let me hug him like that, but I'm always going to do it with Scotty. I don't care how old he is." Now, this is the way a dad should be. This is a blessing to a child for a dad to do this. But you know, many of us dads do okay until our children reach puberty. And with boys, suddenly when they reach puberty, hugging and kissing dad is just not cool anymore. When my boys became teenagers, my wife Brenda made me stop doing it, kissing and hugging my boys in public. I didn't want to, she made me. But I did not stop doing it in our home. The boys would walk into home, and before they could even stop me, I'd walk up, I'd grab them, I'd hug them, I'd kiss them. They'd go, "Oh, Dad, you know, I didn't care. What do I care? I didn't care." Now they're all grown up, and we're back to doing it in public. Anytime I see my boys in public, I grab them, I kiss them, and you know what? Now we've gotten to the point where they kiss me back. How cool is that? Yes, it is. You know, let me tell you something. When you hug and kiss a child as a father, you communicate more to that child than 1,000 words could communicate at that moment. Now, when it comes to girls reaching puberty, a lot of times dads stop becoming affectionate, giving hugs and kisses to their daughters because they're afraid maybe it's not good for their daughters. You know, that maybe they're communicating some kind of sexual message to their daughters that they shouldn't communicate. But let me tell you, all the research shows that girls who become promiscuous almost always come from homes where their dads did not hug them when they were teenagers. Look, childhood sexual abuse is a horrible and tragic thing. And you know, I'm not talking here about childhood sexual abuse. I am talking about godly fathers expressing genuine love and value to their children by the use of appropriate physical affection. And dads, let me say to you, never underestimate the blessing that you will bestow on your children for the rest of their lives when we do this. Now you say, "Well, Lon, you don't understand though. We've never done this in my home. I mean, if I were to walk up behind my grown son and try to suddenly hug him and kiss him, I mean, he would turn around, probably think somebody was assaulting him and slug me right in the face." Well, okay, so maybe you're not used to it in your family, but what difference does it make? It may be a little awkward at first, but start anyway. Approach him from the front, you know, so he knows you're coming. And go give that boy or that girl a hug and a kiss, and they may at first not know what to do. They'll get used to it real quick, and they'll love it. Principle number 2. Want to be a blessing to your children all the days of their life? Then, Dad, give them verbal affirmation. You know, we all grew up with little sayings. You've heard them all, okay? The early bird, what? Well, we say in Israel gets the falafel, but it the same idea. Okay. A stitch in time, right. A penny saved is a penny earned, right. A bird in the hand is worth 2 in the bush. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Well, wait a minute. The last one's not true. That's not true. Words can hurt us. I'm 63 years old, and I still remember to this day mean, hurtful words my father said to me when I was just a little boy that cut me to the quick. Almost 6 decades later, I remember those words. Hey, but to the contrary, may I say, affirming words that a dad says to a child, that child will remember those words also decades later. I'm really proud of you. I really respect you because of this. I'm so glad God gave you to me and to this family. These kinds of words provide strength and encouragement and blessing to a child all the days of his and her life. This is why the book of Proverbs says, Proverbs 16, verse 24, pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. But you know, to say affirming words like this to our children, or to anybody for that matter, it just doesn't happen by accident. We've got to be deliberate about this. It takes thought. It takes effort. It takes energy. And sadly, so many of us get so busy and so caught up in our own thing and so distracted by our own endeavors that we just simply forget. We simply don't even think to do this. But friends, it's important. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not talking about just flattering our children. There's a difference. To flatter our children means to give them compliments they don't deserve, that are disingenuous, that are false. But biblically affirming our children means to identify genuine character traits that are admirable in our children and then tell them how much we respect them for those character traits. You know, years ago when our children were young, we started a little ritual in our home, and I'm not even really sure where we got this from. My wife was the one that discovered it. We got this big red plate that said, "You are special," on it. And whenever anyone would have a birthday or special occasion, but usually a birthday, we would take this plate and we'd wash it off and we would put it there for dinner in front of them, and they ate their dinner on the "You are special" plate. But we did more than that. While we were sitting at dinner, we would go around the table and all of us would start a sentence with these words. "One thing that makes you special is," and then all of us would put something in and complete that sentence. Now, my boys are all grown now and they don't, you know, we don't bring out the "You are special" plate anymore. But we do often go out for dinner for my boys' birthdays. And when we do, I always give the same little speech before we order. I say, "Now, you know, we're here, and I think we need to all go around the table and tell whoever's birthday it happens to be one thing that makes them special." And I know this is corny, and I know everybody sits there, but I want us to do it because I'm paying for dinner. And because this is really important. Because these are the things we need to say to each other now, not at some funeral service wishing we had said them. And so we go around the table and I always start. I say, "I want us to do it and I'm going to go first." Why? Because it was my idea. So I go first. We just took my oldest son, Jamie, out for his birthday. He's 35 years old and we did this. And I got to tell you something. Some of the most precious times we have ever had as a family. I mean, with tears shed, just special, unbelievable moments have come all from one thing that makes you special going around the table is, and we share. Listen, my friends, affirming words that you give your children will be one of the greatest blessings you'll ever give them. You say, "Well, Lon, you know what? My dad never gave this kind of affirmation to me." Well, you know what? My dad never gave this kind of affirmation to me either. But why in the world, God forbid, that we should rob our children of it just because our dads robbed us of it? That doesn't make sense. Number three, want to be a blessing to your children? Then number three, work hard at emotionally connecting with them. See, in order to verbally affirm our children, we have to know who our children are. And the only way to get to know who our children are is to connect with them emotionally. Listen, this is out of the Bible, Genesis 49, verse 28. Jacob, who had 12 sons, was giving a blessing to each one of them as he approached the end of his life. And this is what the Bible says. It says, "These are the 12 tribes of Israel, and this is what their father, Jacob, said to them when he blessed them," watch, "giving to each one of them the blessing that was appropriate for him. The point is that Jacob individually tailored an individual blessing for each individual son. Why? Because he knew each one individually. He knew their strengths. He knew their weaknesses. He knew their talents. He knew how God had wired them. My friends, our children each need an individually tailored blessing from us as their fathers. But we can't give them that if we don't get to know who these people are. You say, well, Lon, that's wonderful. How do I do that? Now, you know what's interesting? Is that a mother would never ask that question because they know how to do it. You say, I don't know how they know how to do it. They're born knowing how to do it. I don't know, but they know how to do this. They don't need to be told how. Fathers do. Let me tell you what's worked best for me. What's worked best for me is sitting down and just asking my children penetrating questions. What's your favorite subject in school? What's your least favorite subject in school? And why? What's the best part of your school day? What's the worst part of your school day? And why? What is it you're most afraid of when you go to school every day? What is it you most look forward to when you go to school every day? Who's your best friend at school? Who at school is probably the person that likes you the least? And why? What'd you do to them to make them not like you? Who do you like in the Bible? Who do you not like in the Bible? Why? What do you think God wants you to be when you grow up? What do you see yourself doing when you're 25 years old? What's your favorite food? What's your least favorite food? Talk to them about their dreams and their struggles and their fears and their hopes. You say, Lon, my children don't want to talk to me about that. Their dreams and their fears and their hopes. Oh, yes, they do. I was dying to talk to my father. Listen, I was dying to talk to my father about who I was and what was going on inside of me. I was dying to tell him how much I loved baseball and dying to tell him how scared I was to go to high school every day and dying to tell him how petrified I was to go off to college knowing no one, et cetera, et cetera. The problem is he never asked. And when I tried to tell him, he never listened. As dads, listen. Our children are yearning to tell us who they are if we'll just ask them the questions and then pay attention to the answers. And I think it goes without saying that, guys, we can't be going 100 miles an hour all day and taking 15 minutes with our children at night and do this. This takes time. Number four and finally, want to be a blessing to your children all the days of their life? Then, Dad, take the lead in personal reconciliation. I saw a bumper sticker a while back, and here's what it said. It said, Dad is a four-letter word. Now, that kind of hit me, because I'm a dad. And I'm like, how can you feel that way about your dad? Well, I'll tell you how. This bumper sticker, what it's really trying to say is, I have unresolved hurt with my father. I have unhealed pain with my father. My father wounded me. My father damaged me. My father's never been back to make it right. That's what you hear in this bumper sticker. There's a fascinating passage in the Old Testament that relates to this. From the life of the great prophet Samuel. Samuel had been in charge of Israel for many, many years, and now God was telling him to step down and appoint Saul as the first king and leader of Israel. But just before he stepped down, Samuel called the whole nation together and gave them a little talk. And as part of the talk, here's what he said. 1 Samuel 12, verse 2. Samuel said, "Now, you have a king as your leader. As for me, I am old and gray. And I have been your leader from my youth to this day. Watch now. So here I stand," he said. "Please testify against me in the presence of the Lord. Whose ox have I ever taken? Whom have I ever cheated? Whom have I ever oppressed? From whose hand have I ever accepted a bribe? If I have done any of these things," Samuel said, "tell me, and I will make it right." Folks, this is a conversation every dad needs to have with his child. And it's a conversation we need to keep on from time to time having with our children. Where have I wronged you? Where have I hurt you? Tell me what I've done, and I will apologize, and I'll do everything I can to make it right. You know, I love movies, and I love baseball. So, ipso facto, I love baseball movies. And in 2002, when The Rookie came out, starring Dennis Quaid, I went to see it in the theater. And it's a marvelous movie. It's actually a true story of a fellow named Jim Morris, it's inspiring too, who as a kid always wanted to be a major league pitcher. Well, he had a dad, though, that had no interest in his dream. A dad never came to his ball games. His dad never encouraged him in his career. His dad was in the Navy. And when the Navy proposed moving his dad to Brownwood, Texas, where the high school didn't even have a baseball team, Jim Morris pleaded with his dad, "Please don't do this, Dad." And his dad just ignored him and did it anyway. In fact, there was so much pain between Jim Morris and his father that he could not even call his father Dad. He called him Sir. Well, he did play a little bit in the minors, blew his arm out, had a couple surgeries, and ended up in Big Lake, Texas, teaching science and coaching high school baseball. And in 1999, Jim Morris made a deal with his high school baseball team. They had only won one game in each of the previous two seasons, but he made them a deal. He said, "If you win the district championship, I'll go try out at age 35 again for the majors." His wife thought he'd lost his mind. And he said, "Honey, you got nothing to worry about. We're not winning the district championship." Well, you know what? They did. And so he, to keep his word, went to a walk-on tryout with the Tampa Bay Devil Rays. And when he took the mound, after everybody stopped laughing at him, despite his age, 35 years old, despite two surgeries on his pitching arm, he threw consecutive 98-mile-an-hour fastballs. Well, to make a long story short, the Devil Rays signed him. And after a couple of very successful months in the minors, they called him up to the big club, to the majors, on September the 18th, 1999. And on that very night, in that very first game that he was with the majors, he made a mound appearance, and he struck out the first batter he faced on three fastballs. Amazing. But you know what? The best part of the whole story happened after the game was over. Gentlemen, I don't care how great a father you tried to be. I don't care how great a father you were. All of us cause pain and hurt in our children because all of us are human. And they're carrying that. And they need to dump it. And they need to get past it and go on with their life. And we need to go to them. We need to have the courage to go back to our children and say, "You know, I wasn't a perfect dad growing up. I know I let you down in some ways. I know I hurt you. Tell me about it. Tell me about it. And I'll ask your forgiveness, and I'll do everything I can to make it right." You say, "If I went to my child and asked that, they wouldn't even tell me." Ooh. If they think you're serious, you better sit down, because they'll tell you. They'll tell you. But it's okay. Don't worry about it. It's okay. Because you know what? The most powerful seven words a father can say to his children are these seven words: "I'm sorry. Will you please forgive me?" Want to be a blessing to your children? Go find out where you need to say those seven words to them, and say them and mean them. And I promise you, you'll be a blessing beyond anything you can imagine with your children. And I don't care if they're 2, 22, or 52. It doesn't matter. You say, "Well, Lon, I hear what you're saying, but I think it's too soon with my family. I don't think my family's ready for this yet." Gentlemen, it's never too soon, because you and I don't know when one day it's going to be too late. Go get this done. Make a phone call. Get on an airplane. Go see somebody and get this done. You take the initiative. Be man enough and humble enough to take the initiative. Well, let's summarize. We're done. What have we learned? Well, we've learned, want to be a blessing to your children? Four things. Number one, show them heartfelt physical affection. Number two, give them authentic verbal affirmation. Number three, work hard at emotionally connecting with them. And number four, take the lead in personal reconciliation. And you say, but Lon, you know what? I hear what you're saying. I don't know where to get the power, where to get the ability, where to get the resources to be this kind of dad. Well, that's where Jesus Christ comes into the picture, my friends. When I came to Christ over 40 years ago, I remember one of the first things I said is, Lord Jesus, before you, I swear I want to be a better dad than my dad was. I don't know how to do it, but you got to help me. And when I was raising my children, and even today, I would get up every morning and say, Lord Jesus, fill me with the Holy Spirit and give me the power, the supernatural power from your Spirit to overcome my innate selfishness and my innate self-centeredness and be the kind of father today my children need me to be. Now, I was not a perfect father, but I'll tell you what, when I was relying on the Holy Spirit moment by moment to give me the power to be the right kind of father, I did a whole lot better than I would have done on my own. If you're here today and you know Christ, gentlemen, that's where you're going to get the power from. That's where you're going to get the resources from, directly from God, if you're willing to depend on Him and ask for it. And if you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus as your real and personal Savior, may I say to you, the greatest blessing you could ever give your children is to give your life to Christ and become a walking, living model of what a godly man is supposed to be. And I hope you'll pray about doing that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you today for challenging us as dads and really as parents to leave a blessing to our children instead of a curse. And when I see a bumper sticker like I saw, I realize in so many cases, parents leave a curse. Lord, we don't want to be like that. So help us. Fill us with your Spirit. Help us depend on your resources. And make us the kind of dads that when our children grow up, they can say, you know, my dad wasn't perfect. But I'll tell you what, it was a blessing to have that man as my father. Lord, I don't care what else we achieve or don't achieve. If our children say that, we were successful. So challenge our lives today with your word. Make us different fathers because we were here. And we sat under the teaching of the eternal word of God. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And what did God's people say? Amen. Amen.